Joining us to talk about the new alert levels in New Zealand, principally Auckland, is Michael Barnett, Chief Executive of the Auckland Business Chamber. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Jim.
Actually, somebody says you may wish to ask Michael Barnett the impacts of Level 3 Auckland lockdown on places in New Zealand like Queenstown, as Aucklanders won't be travelling. It's not all about Auckland, says Jim S. And Jim S is right, Michael.
He is. And I think when you look outside of Auckland, many of those places are dependent, and they're more dependent on what they have been in the past. So shutting Auckland down is really having a huge impact for the rest of New Zealand.
What's your big worry, though, for businesses in Auckland this time round, please?
I've got a number of concerns, but I think my first one would have to be about the uncertainty that this is creating for businesses, the short time frame to the lockdown, and the well-being of business owners, employers, chief executives, as they look to rearrange yet another week of uncertainty for them. So that would be the main thing. I think secondly is, you know, we have a sector out there and, you know, it has to be those that are dependent on tourists and the movement of people, so those that have been impacted by borders. So we're going to have accommodation, food, hospitality, and events. So those sorts of businesses, this is absolutely devastating for them.
I've heard from business owners that this has been a severe episode for them with the last shorter Level 3, and repercussions ripple through sectors, don't they, with people away from work, people afraid of having children attend ECE. I mean, there are all manner of knock-on effects that people don't see, not just the shutters over the windows and the doors locked, Michael.
And I touched on that one as soon as I mentioned uncertainty and well-being. I think most people probably looked at that 72 hours and said, you know, we can do this. I think to have 7 days on top of that, there's going to be many businesses that are looking at their relationships with their landlords, looking at their relationship with their supply chain, their banks, and the uncertainty that this creates for them. And the flow-on effect, of course, is their well-being. So this, to me, is a devastating blow for many businesses. On the same count, I have to be honest and say that there's a significant number of businesses who will be able to operate, and they'll be able to, you know, keep their employees occupied. So I think we're going to see two or three very different worlds over the next week.
You wanted future COVID outbreaks to be dealt with more clinically by avoiding the imposition of restrictions on entire regions. And COVID-19 Response Minister Chris Hipkins said populations are too transient for localised restrictions to be effective in closing down a virus outbreak. Do you accept that's the case this time?
I think the Minister's probably been proven to be correct. I actually believe that if we could, I use the word clinical, I think isolate, if we could isolate communities and have communities take responsibility for their actions and for the safety of them and their families, it would seem to me that this hasn't been the case, and we really do need to get the message out there that isolate means isolate, and so far that hasn't worked.
Part of the problem here identified, I saw, by the Unite Union, may be that people seem to be unsure that they'll survive financially if they isolate, and at this stage of the pandemic, shouldn't this be crystal clear?
I would have hoped so, but I really do see that this is going to be a big call out to business leaders, community leaders, church leaders and families to be following the rules with no exceptions. People do not have to go to work. And if I have a look at the resurgence package, if I have a look at the protection that is there for people if they're being tested and have to isolate, and if I look at the subsidy, those are all about employees. They're all about protecting people, and we need to be telling a story about that that makes it abundantly clear what's available for those groups.
Yeah, which Grant Robertson tried to do last night, and the PM reiterated it. The wage subsidy scheme is triggered by the 7 days and will be nationwide, and the Ministry of Social Development is still able to support families of Papatoetoe High School students. So the money is there, basically. You know, people should not have to go to work and think, gosh, I won't survive unless I do.
And that's my point. I think, you know, the government's made it clear, but I do think that there's another group. And as I say, business leaders, community leaders, you know, families and churches, media, we need to be getting that story out of what is going to be available. Because, as I say, I would have preferred that we isolated this and dealt with it that way. But if we have a look at the reactions and the behaviour of some of the people involved in this, it hasn't worked. We need to make them comfortable that they, as people, individuals, are not going to be financially disadvantaged.
Is some sort of factor here, because the payment is there for businesses and for people, but with loose work arrangements, occasional shift arrangements, maybe it isn't working smoothly under those sorts of work conditions? You would know.
It's difficult for business. When you have a look, they're talking about contactless, and we're talking, yes, you can do deliveries and pickups, but they need to be contactless. They talk about working from home if possible, but then we talk about a work environment if you can operate and operate it 1 meter apart. And for many, there's going to be a fine line between them operating and not operating. But again, this comes back to business leaders and community leaders. We need to make this work. We need the message about health and safety, about if you're in doubt, get advice. And if you get told to self-isolate, that's what it means.
The worst thing for the economy is a big COVID-19 outbreak. But the second worst thing is yo-yoing in and out of lockdowns. We don't want to keep doing that.
And that's what I see as uncertainty. And so today I look at the, you know, the restaurants that had invested in food that's in fridges ready for today's client base. And again, that will be lost. And many of these businesses who are in the food and beverage and hospitality, their businesses are fragile now. You know, to get an 8-hour or whatever it was notice that you're back into lockdown, this whole issue of uncertainty for them makes fragile businesses even more fragile.
So people won't survive, perhaps, some of them, this latest business blow in Auckland?
I think we're already seeing a large number of retail, hospitality outlets that have failed, and it is inevitable that we will see some more. Some of it's going to be because of a lack of tourists. For others, it's going to be the inability to come to arrangements with banks, and that will cover areas of loans and borrowings, and come to arrangements with landlords in respect of, if I can't access my workplace or I can't operate, I don't have any income, I'm going to have an issue paying my rent.
Auckland's hospitality sector's down 50%, pretty much.
Over the research, last lockdown, 72 hours, if I have a look at Auckland Central, most of the businesses in the hospitality I was talking to there, 50, 60% down. They can't operate like that.
Based on previous lockdowns, Auckland Level 3 and the rest of New Zealand at Level 2 costs the economy about $440 million a week, according to ASB. So the strain this time will be emphatic. From the point of view of business, Michael Barnett, what do you want to see most now, from here on in?
What I'd like to see is for business leaders, community leaders, families, to take the message into their communities and stress the importance of it. I think government has tried. They've tried to, you know, tell a story of risk, and we're now seeing the cost of what not following the instructions are. We need to be able to get back to work. We need to be able to reclaim our livelihoods, but that's going to take all of us making an effort, all of us telling the story, and all of us complying.
Are there must be places, well, I know there are, that business owners, small business owners can talk to. I see Manaaki and Choice are running daily live chats to help reassure small business owners and, you know, provide practical advice. Is there more of that available for people who are throwing their hands up in the air right now and who own a small business, Michael?
Yes. So without sounding like an advertisement, the Chamber ran daily advice lines, offering mentors, offering advice. I think we used Hinamoa Elder to be able to talk about well-being, and we have business advisors. I know that Business New Zealand would be doing the same. So I think there's a large amount of resource available to businesses, and this time I think they're going to need it. And again, I come back, when you look at the subsidy is about job keeping. So that's about the employee. If you have a look at the cost of accommodation, and other overheads to businesses, you can take your wage bill and double it, and that should give you some idea of what the businesses are having to pay out, and there's nobody backing them up on that. So to me, the cost for businesses to stall their operation for a week is high.
Michael Barnett, very good of you to join us on a Sunday morning, and thank you for those comments.
Thank you, Jim.
It's coming up to the news. It's not business as usual for us this morning. A few of the chats we were teasing have gone by the wayside temporarily with the new levels announcement, but we'll still bring them to you. So Professor Michael Baker after the news. I see comments are coming in and queries for him. Feel free to ask questions along with our ones, and later of the Auckland Mayor Phil Goff and the Manukau Councillor Efeso Collins. And after the news as well, Richard Harman and Jane Clifton are back on the weekend panel. There will be non-COVID material though, and after 10 o'clock especially, we talk about the hidden habits of genius. And later in the morning, we also discuss the advantages to older people of beginning again in all sorts of ways in life. That's all still to come on Sunday morning.